psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
To reach out to children that have absolutely nothing and to provide for them, and I mean, that's God's work.
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught? Remember that these men and women in prisons all around the world are human beings. Mm-hmm. God loves them.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Well, Doctor, our guest today could really be called larger than life. He's so full of passion and enthusiasm. We're in for a real treat today.
There's no doubt about that, Luann. Just a little over a week ago now, we traveled to Kirkland, Washington, to record an interview with Dr. Ken Hutcherson. I like to call him Hutch. Many other people do, too. And we also attended the Antioch Bible Church, where he is the senior pastor. It was a great weekend with one of my dear friends and colleagues.
Well, Doctor, I was pleased to join you on that trip, as well as our senior engineer here, Steve Ryder. And I've got to tell you, this is one strong man of God who does not mess around when it comes to speaking the truth.
Well, Luann, you're right about that. And I have so much respect for Dr. Hutcherson. I have not met him yet, but I can't wait to get acquainted with him. When it comes to taking a stand for righteousness in our culture, I can't think of many other men who have taken the heat quite like he has, except, of course, for you, Dad.
Well, I am vaguely familiar with criticism from the far left, so Hutch and I have plenty in common here. You know, as I've gotten to know him, I have grown to appreciate his love for the Lord and for the Scriptures that dominates his passion and his attitude on culture and many other things. And as we hear now what was recorded in his church office, I think he will quickly endear himself to our listening friends as well, because this is a good man.
Well, let's not miss a minute of that interchange, Doctor. Dr. Ken Hutcherson is also a former NFL linebacker. He was with the Cowboys, the Chargers, and the Seahawks. He's authored a number of books, including his latest, Hope is Contagious, which we're going to hear more about in just a moment. Here now is our friend Hutch on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, Hutch, what a great privilege to be here with you in your office today. You've been to my house, so it was time I came to yours.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you, man. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what God wants to say to us today.
Well, I just love you. You know that. We've been great friends for a number of years and stay in touch with each other. And I just wanted to come up here and see the setting here at Antioch Bible Church.
You're going to love it.
And this is on a Saturday that we're recording. And I'm going to church tomorrow morning. You got a word for the Lord?
I tell you, as long as I stay out the way, the Lord will do a good job.
You've been through a lot, man. We have interviewed you a couple of times about your illness, your cancer.
Oh, yeah.
You have prostate cancer. And that's been going on for nine years,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
It really is. I think I told you I had prostate cancer, too. Mm-hmm. They caught mine early. And my PSA was 4.8, which is just barely.
Oh, you're just a child.
I am. I got off easy. Yours went to 3,600.
Up to 3,600. They could not believe that I was even functioning, much less being able to function with reality. I mean, I should have been dead 4 years ago. But
and yet you've continued to preach all this time.
Oh, yeah. Coming to work just about every day, preaching just about every Sunday.
And you've been through very, very difficult chemo.
Oh yeah,
therapy.
Chemo is nobody's friend. You know, but it's what God has allowed to mold me, and I can't complain about anything that I've gone through. The side effects, everything is opportunity to praise God and rejoice that he finds me worthy to suffer for him.
And you lost 50 pounds the first time around.
Yeah, the first treatment, man.
That was an experimental treatment that only three people have ever gone through.
Yeah, only three people was given it in the world, yeah.
And they didn't know what the effect was going to be.
It was brand
totally
new.
Experimental.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was a thankful thing to happen, because it did weaken the cancer enough to have the second treatment that I'm on now to work. And all the soreness, all the sickness, all the opportunities that I had to really trust God through those difficult times, now is not as bad with the new treatment, because the other treatment made the cancer. So I'm not sore. I don't walk around being sore like I were before. And, you know, it's just good. I can't feel the bottom of my feet because of the chemotherapy, so I had to be real careful when I walk. But, you know, I can't complain because it molds me to be like Christ.
You and I talked right in the middle of that terrible era when you were going through the first round of cancer, and you said something incredible. I'll never forget it. You said, "Cancer is my pastor."
Yes. Yeah.
How in the world can cancer be your pastor?
Well, you know, we had talked about the whole thing of Romans 8. And that says all things work for those. And that means everything. Everything is everything. I don't care what language you're using in. And it wasn't until I realized that God had allowed this to come in my life to overcome a great fear that I had all my life. And that was fear of cancer. I mean, I didn't care about nothing else. I didn't fear nothing else. But man, cancer had been a stigma in my life for years. And if you're going to be like Christ, God's going to eliminate everything in your life that don't look like it. And fear of cancer is not a part of being Christ-like. So God allowed me to get this disease, I believe, because I always ask him, I want to be like Christ. And so God is going to make you face your fear. And when I realized that after a year of being an adversarial debater over cancer, I realized that this isn't a hardship. This isn't given to me to make my life difficult. It is something that's not under control of a sovereign God. So what does he really want to do? And so I realized that he wanted cancer to teach me. He wanted cancer to mold me. He wanted cancer to help me overrun that fear that I had. And when I realized that, cancer became my pastor. And cancer became my discipler. And that is when I really had the freedom to enjoy cancer. I've enjoyed my cancer. It's been fun. You know, you can pretend like you're sick when people won't take it any other time. I just get a little cough, you know, and they'll back off. I mean, I really have enjoyed the experience, not the sickness. You know, you're not going to enjoy being in a meeting, having to get up and go throw up. I mean, but the whole avenue of knowing I'm becoming more like Christ every day, I mean, what greater joy is it to know every day you got to keep that mirror clean? That's the only way you're going to reflect Christ when people look at you.
And at the end of it all, for all of us, we go to be with the Lord.
Hey, to be absent in body is to be present with Christ.
Now, the book that you mentioned is called Hope is Contagious. I'm holding a copy of it in my hand. And the subtitle is Trusting God in the Face of Any Obstacle.
Any and every. Does not matter what it is. It is God has a purpose to mold you so others can see what Christianity is all about. Biggest problem with most Christians is they are soft. Extremely soft, and they don't think they should suffer. But Christ, you know, in Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 5, it says that Christ was made perfect. Now, how can you improve perfectness, Doc? The only way you can improve perfectness, it says in Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 5, is Christ suffered. So if perfectness takes suffering, what do you think I need? And when it gives it to me, why should I be upset that he's making me perfect?
How can you write a book called Hope? Hope is contagious in the midst of a deadly disease.
Easy. You live it. There's nowhere in the world you can write that book if you're not living it. And you realize the great blessing you are, that God has found you worthy to go through it. He can trust you to go through this and not lose your way. You know how many people God can't trust? I mean, there's so many people out there, so many Christians, that he can't trust to do his will because we quit before we're finished because it gets too rough.
Before we went on the air, you expressed great concern about changes that seem to be occurring among many pastors and in many churches, all of them, but many of them, in the last year.
The majority.
Having to do with fear.
Oh, yeah.
Fear of being ridiculed, fear of somehow being ostracized, attacked.
Oh, yeah. And they can say whatever they want. They can call it wanting to be more loving. They can call it wanting to be more sensitive to those that don't think like us. But what it boils down to, they are gutless. I mean, you know, half the pastors need to start going selling used cars instead of calling themselves shepherds. At least you know you got a bad product in a used car. So Christ is supposed to be the top. And these guys are chicken, just flat out chicken when it comes to standing for Christ.
I said earlier today that when I'm on the front line and the going is rough and my life is in danger, I want you standing beside me, brother.
It'll be a pleasure.
Because I know you will not run away. You will not run away. I've watched you stand up to unbelievable ridicule and pressure. You've taken on powerful forces up here in Washington. Microsoft and many others, the homosexual movement, when they did not stand for righteousness and the issues that you have been willing to articulate. You stood. You did not back off an inch. And you're the kind of guy I want to be side by side with.
I did. It's the same way with me. If I'm going to stand, at least I shouldn't be worried about who's going to stab me in the back.
You know, Hutch, I've had some awards, some of them not deserved, most of them not deserved. But one of the honors that stands above most of the others is the fact that you dedicated this book, Hope is Contagious, Trusting God in the Face of Any Obstacle. You dedicated that to me. Tell me why. I'm not looking for a laurel wreath, but tell me why you dedicated this to Shirley and me.
Well, Doc, you know, I fell in love with you when we first met. I mean, because I heard so much about your stand and how you had gotten attacked over the years, and you had stood. You didn't quit. And how difficult it was getting to continue to stand. And when God gave us the opportunity to meet, you know, you hear about people. I know when I was first drafted by the Cowboys, you hear about Coach Landry being a Christian. So my whole rookie year, I spent watching him. I wanted to see what they said about him was true, and did he live what he taught? If you walk your talk, I'm impressed with
it'll
you.
It'll show.
It's going to show. And so when we first met, I wanted to watch you, and I watched you, and you lived and walked your talk. And anybody that walks their talk got full commitment from Ken Hutcherson. And when I saw what we went through, you know, even just dealing with having that Mayday for Marriage up here, remember, in Seattle. I mean, we only had 30 days to put that together. Anyone that'll go along with me on that had to be absolutely crazy to trust God. I mean, there's no way it should have worked.
Let's talk about that.
Oh,
that
it was that wild or what?
It was a special thing. That was May 1st.
Yeah.
And you had organized this Mayday for Marriage because the very definition of marriage was under attack.
Massachusetts and California, and then they were trying to move it to the state of Washington.
And so you organized this thing, and you got Safeco Stadium, which we just flew over to get here. And I didn't know how many people would be there, and you didn't either. There were 20,000 people come out to hear us.
25,000.
And you and I got acquainted with Pat and your other board members and church members up here, and it was an instant bond. There were a lot of people on our side of the argument who opposed you on that.
Major. I mean, they call me stupid. They call me pushing, trying to make God do something he didn't want to do. I should not do it. I should drop it. And I just felt that this was something that we had to do as a church. And I think that that's been one of the major things, Doc, that scared many of the churches. Scared them to death when they realized that if you're going to take that kind of stand, the kind of tax is going to come. And many of the pastors, even when stood with me during that time, don't want to go under that kind of pressure anymore. But that's what Christianity is. It's pressure. The only way you can make a diamond is put some pressure on it. And so that's why I committed so strongly to dedicate this book to you, because you and Shirley have been such an example of what it means to stick there, get down in the dirt and hold on to the scriptures, regardless of what man says. God has the final answer. And hope is watching others like you, and that was a great hope to me, and that's why I dedicated the book to you.
Hutch, I'm not going to wobble, and you're not either. You're not going to give up. But, you know, you and I are going to be standing before the Lord before very long.
Yep.
We're going to be right in his presence.
Yep.
It may seem like it's off in the future somewhere, but it's right around the corner for all of us, for everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be embarrassed at that time.
Amen.
I mean, I know that I don't deserve eternal life, but when that comes, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
It's going to be a lot of Christians going to hear you're well done. It won't be that well done, good and faithful servant. They're going to be cooked. They're going to lose a lot of crowns. They're going to lose a lot of rewards because they gave up too quick, Doc.
Well, what do you say, Hutch, to the people who are listening to us who know that the principles that we stand for are right?
Mm-hmm.
They read the same Bible that you
Absolutely.
And I do. And yet it hurts to be laughed at.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurts to be ridiculed. And it especially hurts when you get it from
Friends.
Your Christian brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
That's what hurts. And, you know, I told you before we went on the air that I get a stack of blogs mm-hmm. almost every day from people who are making up lies about me and saying things that I've never said,
yeah.
like attributing them to me. All my books are out there, and yet they will make up what I said
yeah.
and didn't say in my books. But you know what? It doesn't matter, does
no.
it?
No.
I mean, you just keep going. If the Lord's pleased, what else matters?
The only reason we get tired and burn out it's because we learn how to be more concerned about what others think of us than Christ.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can get burned out. That's the only way you can get fearful and tired. God told Jairus in Luke chapter 8, one of the greatest statements in all the world, when his daughter died and he came to Christ to come and see his daughter, and his daughter died while he was yeah. there to find Christ. Remember that?
Yes.
And one of the servants says, basically, you know, you shouldn't bother the master. She's dead now. And Christ turned and made one of the most astonishing statements that most people miss. He says, "Have faith, fear not." In other words, Jairus, you trusted me enough when she was alive. Can you trust me enough now she's dead that I can still do something? And if you don't have faith, Jairus, you're going to fear. So anybody that tells me that they don't have the faith to walk with God just told me why. They're a very fearful believer.
Well, that's what you're getting at in your book, Hope is Contagious. I hope, Hutch, that a lot of people will get this book and read it. And we're not distributing a lot of books these mm-hmm. days, mm-hmm. but this is one that I would like people to write for. Those that are discouraged, those who are hopeless, those who are fearful, those who believe the scripture but really don't think it applies to their difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. And you talk quite a bit in this book about Coach John Wooden,
yeah.
The basketball coach from UCLA who just passed away. And I interviewed him a while back and hope to air that interview again. But What did you find from, what did you get from him?
Oh, I'm going to tell you.
That was so useful to
your
situation.
It was one of the greatest statements ever made, because it was several of us, it was four of us that went to see him that day. It was a private meeting that he had given us audience to come and sit and talk with him, which you very seldom can get that type of sit down with Coach Wooden. And there was a talk show host that was with us. There was a sports broadcaster that was with us. And another pastor that was with us. And the broadcaster, the talk show host, asked him if he was afraid of dying. Huh. And of course, I just got my notice from the doctor that I had cancer, right? So it was a very interesting question for me because your immortality all of a sudden is questioned. You get cancer, you know, your mortality comes out real quickly and it
sure
hits you.
Does.
And he says, "Oh, my goodness, absolutely not. I'm looking forward to dying." And I sit and I listen to that man explain why. And it was, there. You can't lose. You know, you hear, that's a good life, but to be face-to-face with Christ, that's what we live for. And that was just a foundation that was laid out. And hearing that made me think, you know, about taking on cancer as an adversarial relationship. And it wasn't until, like I say, a year later that I realized that cancer was my pastor.
Huh. Well, he died at 99 years of age and still had that testimony when
he
died.
Yeah.
Did this book come out of a sermon that you preached?
My lifestyle of living came out of Romans 8. That's where I realized that if God is telling me the truth, why do I have the right not to believe it? And if he says, all things work for the better, all things, there's nothing left out at all. I don't care what language you're using in. I have no right to complain as a believer when God allows something, not cause it, you know, going to make me get beat up, or he's this big joy killer up there, but he's my sovereign God who knows what's best for me. And when I read that, that's when I knew why cancer. And there was nothing else, Doc. I promise you, I know for being through this in 9 years, there's nothing else God could have ever done to me to help me grow the way I have.
Well, tell us how you're doing physically now.
I'm doing good. I'm, you know, tired because of the chemotherapy. I have several more weeks of treatment, but still doing well. My numbers are coming down. They are blown away every week that this guy is still around and still functioning. And I am just enjoying the amount of energy that I have to continue to preach for the Lord. So I can't complain.
And you're still serving as senior pastor.
Still serving as senior pastor.
You're preaching twice a Sunday.
Twice every Sunday.
The name of the church is Antioch Bible Church.
Antioch Bible Church, right.
Exactly where is it located for those who want to try to come early and get in?
It's in Kirkland, Washington, right across the lake from downtown Seattle. And we meet at the Seventh-day Adventist School there on 108 53rd Street in Kirkland.
How long has the church been operating?
25 years.
Uh-huh.
25. Started with 13 people in a Bible study 25 years ago.
Still excited about it.
Still excited about it because it's God's bride.
Hmm. Hutch, thanks for inviting us. Well, you didn't invite me. I called and invited myself. I called and said, I'm coming.
That was a privilege to get that call.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here. We're going to talk again. But thanks for having us in your office today.
Thank you for coming.
All right.
Well, those are solid words of encouragement from one of our favorite pastors, Dr. Ken Hutcherson, or Hutch, as we affectionately call him here at Family Talk.
What amazing faith this man has, Ryan, and what a dedication to Christ's church and to his own family. We were blessed to spend some time with the Hutchersons at their home near Seattle, Washington, after this interview was completed. And we ate some soul food, which I absolutely love. In fact, when I called Hutch and told him that we wanted to come up and see him, I gave him the menu. I said I wanted red beans and ham and rice and cornbread and other good stuff, and of course apple pie. And frankly, it took me back to South Texas and the meals that my mom used to make. But we loved that evening with the Hutchersons and their three scary dogs, I might say.
They were pretty scary. I think a Doberman or something like that. That was something. Doctor, I was also able to spend that evening with them, and I tell you, what I thoroughly came away with was just the sense of bonding and love that they have as a family. In fact, I kind of took my plate and headed out onto the porch to talk with the four kids, who are amazing, each one of them. And I even recorded a little bit with them. I came away with such a sense of appreciation for what they've learned watching their dad go through this struggle with cancer and coming out victorious. And we have some of that audio online, Ryan.
We do, and I think our listeners are really, really going to like it. And if you want to come to our website, it's myfamilytalk.com. We've got some audio. We've got some video of you ripping a tie off at church, Dad.
You would have been pleased. Right?
I would have been pleased.
Yeah,
pleased
I looked around and I was the only one in the whole church with a tie on.
Come to the website, myfamilytalk.com, to see the video and the photos and hear that audio, and you will be blessed.
You know, I have not seen the video, so I'm looking forward to watching it on our website. I was too busy eating soul food. And Luann and Steve were out on the porch talking to the kids. I could hear them laughing. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. But it was a wonderful evening, a wonderful weekend. You know, we talked during our interview there about Hutch's new book, Hope is Contagious. Mm-hmm. I'm reading it, and I tell you, it is really good, and especially for those who are going through very, very hard times. Mm-hmm. There are undoubtedly other people out there, man or woman who is struggling
with cancer in the way that Hutch has struggled, or maybe it's somebody in the family that you love. They can get a copy of this book, Hope is Contagious, from us by going on our website.
Or giving us a call, 1-877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. Doctor, I can attest to that. I've read Hutch's book, and it gave me such a clearer glimpse of the sovereignty of God.
And on reading it, you will understand the almost incomprehensible statement that Hutch makes, that cancer is his pastor.
It's amazing.
How could that be? Read the book.
Absolutely.